Good morning. My name is Wes, for those of you who might not know me. I want you to know that I love you. I want you to know that God cares for you this morning and has a deep affection for you. Let's pray. Father, again we come to your word. Again we come and ask to be revived, that your word would not return without void. We fully trust in your word. We trust in the messenger, Jesus, your son, the living God. And Father, we take these words that were given to us and we put them in our lives and we put them in practice as a hope to draw closer to you. So Father, now give us full assurance. Give us peace that surpasses all understanding. Open our minds, our hearts, and love on us this morning, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Am I truly a Christian? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Am I truly a Christian? How would you answer this? Do you fully trust in your reasoning? When it comes to God and your relationship with Him, do you live in fear, anxiety, or guilt? Or do you have full confidence that you are His child? Do you trust in God? Do you trust in His character? Do you trust in His promises? Do you trust in Christ's completed work? I want you to listen today because I don't want you to walk around wondering. I don't want you to walk around with a, let's hope I'm saved. I want you to fully know that you are God's child. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way. He says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Now we're starting this journey through 1 John because 1 John clearly lays out what it means to be a Christian. And as this aged apostle, the beloved disciple, he wants you to have the same assurance that he has. He doesn't want you to fret or wonder about how God feels, about how God thinks, and how God has acted towards you. He wants you to discover the richness of God's grace. But if you're like me, many things in this world bring lack of confidence. They bring lack of trust. And we're left wondering, can we really trust in this? Now, one of the things that always brings me a lack of assurance is when I watch these, where they try to sell you these pills on TV, right? They sell you these pills, and there's always someone happy and smiling, and then they give this long list of side effects. And as they start to list the side effects, you start to lose assurance that it might work. And I actually found one on YouTube I'm going to play for you this morning. Now, it was hard to find one because it could offend a lot of people, whatever pill that I picked. So I picked the least offensive one I could find, and it's about smoking, and so I'm hope that you're not offended. If you are, I apologize for. But roll this video about Chantix.
Quit smoking with Chantix and support. Talk to your doctor about Chantix and a support plan that's right for you. Some people have had changes in behavior, hostility, agitation, depressed mood, and suicidal thoughts or actions while taking or after stopping Chantix. If you notice agitation, hostility, depression, or changes in behavior, thinking, or mood that are not typical for you, or if you develop suicidal thoughts or actions, stop taking Chantix and call your doctor right away. Talk to your doctor about any history of depression or other mental health problems, which can get worse while taking Chantix. Some people can have allergic or serious skin reactions to Chantix, some of which can be life-threatening. If you notice swelling of face, mouth, throat, or a rash, stop taking Chantix and see your doctor right away. Tell your doctor which medicines you're taking, as they may work differently when you quit smoking. Chantix dosing may be different if you have kidney problems. The most common side effect is nausea. Patients also reported trouble sleeping and vivid, unusual, or strange dreams. Until you know how Chantix may affect you, use caution when driving or operating machinery. Chantix should not be taken with other quit smoking products.
Oh, here comes your assurance.
The urges weren't like they used to be, and that helped me quit.
Talk to your doctor to find out if prescription Chantix is right for you.
Unusual and vivid dreams, and you might get a rash. That doesn't give me all the warm and fuzzies. I think I would stick with the Marlboro Man over becoming a dysfunctional member of society. I want your assurance in Christ to be more than a medical pill commercial. And with God, I want you to know this morning, there's no fine print. There's no scam. There's no nothing to get you behind the scenes. And he wants you to have the full spectrum of assurance in your life. And so let's open up his word this morning. Follow along on the screen. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Listen to the beloved apostle. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. 1 John 5:13 at the end of the book. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So the first way that we gather assurance this morning is actually listen to the proclamation from the apostle. What does he say? From the beginning. What does he mean? This man walked with Christ. When you hear the stories about Jesus walking on water, he was there. When you see that demoniacs were once possessed by demons, now they're whole, right, and sitting in front of Jesus, fully aware of who they are, John was there. At the cross, it was John who took Mary home to be his mother and care for the mother of Jesus herself, which we have heard. He heard the sermons. He was there on the Sermon on the Mount, on the plain in Israel, where the most powerful sermon ever was delivered. Truth that would actually bring life. He heard it. He saw things with his eyes. He's looked, he's touched Jesus. He physically walked around with Christ. And he says this, I'm proclaiming to you. What's he proclaiming? Another truth, another sales demon? No, he said, the word of life. You see, Jesus is alive. His spirit is real, and he wants to bring you new life. And this is the proclamation which John is telling you all about. He's saying the life appeared. We realize in this dark world that things lead to death because of sin and darkness, and everything unravels, everything rusts, everything goes to the graveside. And we see this all around, that it's a clock is on us for when our life will expire. Yet John is proclaiming the life appeared. Something happened in which I want to proclaim to you about. I want to testify to you what my eyes have seen, what my ears have heard, and what my hands have touched. I want to proclaim to you the word of life. And this has always been a Christian tradition. Luke 7:22 says this. So he replied to the messengers, Jesus talking, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. We are to basically also be proclaimers of this great truth. Whatever you know as a Christian, you should share with other people. With your verbal life, with your words, with the life that you live, and the good works that you do, and through the power of prayer. The apostle is simply telling you what he knows. And he wants you to know that Jesus' whole purpose in coming here was to give his children assurance. Now think about it with me for a minute. The life appeared to give us life, to give us hope and joy. Aren't you thankful that God came with a graceful smile and an outstretched arm than wrath and judgment? The life appeared to give you new life, and he wants you to have the assurance of that new life, eternal life. There's no gimmick, no fine print, no side effects. God came to love people. And when you look at Jesus' character, all you will find is radiant, joyful light. You will find a Savior who loves you and cares for you. And the purpose of this book is this aged disciple who was a sinner himself is proclaiming to other sinners like us that live in a dark and decaying world, the life appeared. It was real. He saw him raised from the dead, and he is here to testify and to proclaim to you the good news of Jesus Christ so that you may experience it and that joy may flutter to the top and you may have assurance. And we could be done with guilt, shame, anxiety, the hurt of relationships and brokenness, that we can have something different. It's like for me, besides Jesus, one of the things I like to proclaim is the Miami River. It's an unused fishery, and Middletown could just do a lot more with the river, okay? We could do a lot. From Miamisburg down to the 122 bridge is pristine fishing that is unused. And I love to tell people about it. You know that there are bald eagles on the river that you can go see daily? They're beautiful. I mean, you walk along. It's scary when you're in the water. You don't realize how big those things are until one flies over you. Then you feel very small when you see them. There are some landscapes with herrings and beautiful birds, and the fishing is just amazing. But as I proclaim this, there are some side effects to it. You know, there is some pollution, you know, so it's not a total thing. And one time I was going down a river and I saw like these young guys with long hair, and they looked kind of scary with large tattoos. Not that if you have tattoos and long hair that you're automatically scary, but they were listening to death metal with their shirts off and bouncing their heads real high. Let's just say my canoe went a little faster down the river that day as I tried to get past this young party that I didn't want to be a part of. But the message is here is that whatever we know, we proclaim. I enjoy myself on the Great Miami River. I love floating down the river. And so I try to be an evangelist and proclaim the sights and the sounds and try to lure people in. Like, you should fish on the river too. Did you know there's a kayak business over on Carmody Boulevard? You can rent a kayak and go down the whole river. John here is proclaiming Jesus. He's proclaiming what he knows, what he sees, what he can hear, what he can touch. And there is no bad stuff to go with it. There's nothing but this. And I want you to listen today. I don't want anyone to walk out of here fretting or worrying about how God feels about you, how he's acted towards you. I want you to know in your heart that you don't have to sleep with worry. That you don't have to wonder about how bad you are, if you stack up, or if you have to perform, or anything that tortures us, if you've had broken relationships. There is grace. Wonderful, beautiful grace. There's start overs. There's second chances. There's a thousand chance. I feel like I'm on my millionth chance with God, and he loves us unconditionally for who we are, where we are, and he's always hoping to point you towards a more healthy, beautiful version of yourself, and he actually empowers and gives you the gifting to do it. So John is proclaiming. We are called to proclaim. How do we do it? Share what you know. Not all of you understand Genesis to Revelation, so don't fake it in a conversation. Share what Jesus has done for you. How many of you have more peace this year through prayer? Share that. Share what God has done in your life. Share what is working. Share what you don't understand. Be authentic and real in the mystery, the parts you don't understand, which there is a lot. And Christians need to quit acting like we know everything, because we don't. And there's a lot of mystery. There's a lot of stuff we just don't get or understand. That's okay. Simply share. It's like the blind man. Hey, I was blind, but I see, and it was because of him. And that is a proclamation of who Jesus is. But why does John proclaim this stuff? Because it's an invitation to fellowship. Listen again in verse 3 and 4. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. Who's he talking about? The Christian community. And our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, fellowship, the Greek word koinonia, simply means this: a two-sided relationship of giving and receiving. Fellowship is a two-sided relationship of giving and receiving. That means as we come in this morning, that we should be giving something and we should be receiving something. In our personal relationships, in our family relationships, there are no freeloaders in the kingdom of God. You receive and you give. It's a fellowship, but there's something that's deeper. It's a one another kind of thing. Whenever you see the one another's, that is the fellowship that is guided by Christ and the Father and the Spirit. It means that we honor one another. Do you give honor to others in your relationship? It means we live in harmony, that we accept one another. We serve one another in love, Galatians. Ephesians, we should be kind and compassionate to one another. We should admonish one another, Colossians. We should encourage one another, 1 Thessalonians. Hebrews says we should spur one another on towards love and good deeds. The book of Hebrews also says that we should offer hospitality. 1 Peter says we ought to love one another. That is what biblical fellowship looks like. But there's something different here with us. On the outside, Christians look no different than the world. You just look like another human being. When you're walking down the street, you can't say, oh my, that's a Christian. There they are. There's a subterranean network that's going on in every heart and believer. There's something uniquely happening in our lives simultaneously. As we have fellowship with one another, as we have fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, there's something going on under the surface in this fellowship. Here's a picture of the Porta Parenza. Okay, on the outside here, it just looks like another cave. It looks kind of tropical. But on the outside, there's nothing that would say, go inside here. There's nothing that would say, look right here, you're going to see something awesome. But look at the next picture. Underground, there's this beautiful river and landscape with natural light that comes through the river. And there's a whole subterranean network that people can go and scuba dive and see. There's beaches in there and all this wonderful stuff that is happening inside this cave. Friends, in our fellowship, although on the outside we look the same, there's a deep river within inside us. There's a fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. John 7:37 says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, and he spoke of the Spirit of God. I want you to know that you have power that is unlimited within inside you. You have a fellowship so deep and unique and powerful to empower you to honor, to love, to be kind and compassionate, to serve one another in love, to admonish in the truth, and to love. There is something deep and unique inside each one of us. So how do we apply that to our lives? My friend, dearly beloved, take advantage of what's being offered. Take advantage of the greatest relationship that you can have with God, your Father, a loving Savior, and a quiet, gentle spirit that empowers you and loves you and leads you to the truth, convicts you of sin and of righteousness. Take advantage of what's being offered. You need to recognize what is being offered. You know, sometimes I wonder, are people really awake? Do you really see the splendor and the joy and the beauty and the art of what God has done? He has called you his children, invited you to a kingdom forever, to empower you, to love, and give you a hope. And this whole book is written so that you can have assurance about the beauty and wonder of who God is and what he has done in your life. We are the free people of the kingdom of God, empowered by his Spirit. Our sins are forgiven. We are empowered by his Spirit. We live above sin because of him. He died for us and loved us. The life and the word of life appeared so that we could have this joy, this deep, deep joy. And friend, go on an adventure. Don't just go through the motions. Don't just live your life day to day. There's an adventure to be had in this divine fellowship that gives assurance and joy. And it's with God himself. What is he calling you to? What is he prompting you to? What is that dream that's deep down in your heart that you know that is a beckoning from heaven for you to take the next step? Do it. Go on a fellowship journey with God himself. Don't leave it on the wayside. Why does he say these things? Why does he proclaim, invite us into this fellowship? He does this to give us joyful assurance. He simply writes, we write this to make our joy complete. Now, I love this line. When he says we make our joy complete, now think about this. Here's an apostle who's been loved by Jesus. He's about to die. He knows that he will receive Jesus, be welcomed into the kingdom, but he wants, his joy is not yet met the full cycle. It's because he wants more people to experience what he has found in Christ. His joy is complete when your joy is complete. When you discover Jesus and become who you are supposed to be in Christ, his joy now is made. His joy is now complete. It's come to a full cycle. Let's look at another scripture in John to help bring this together. John 4:36 says this. Even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower, now catch this, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Now how am I tying these two together? You don't have true joy in this divine fellowship that has been proclaimed to you by the apostle until your joy is other people's joy. Okay? Now, when I take Miles fishing and he catches a fish and he is ecstatic about it, because Kyle hated fishing the entire time because I was a bad proclaimer. I took him on a 9-hour journey one time without food or water and he got baked in the sun and he's just hated fishing ever since. So now I got peanut butter and jelly, I got sunscreen, tents and everything because I want a son who wants to, you bring up fishing to Kyle, he hates fishing. I ruined it. Totally my fault, take all blame, but I'm proclaiming the mystery of fishing to my two younger children, and we're going to do it right this time. The sower and the reaper can be glad together. True joy comes when you see other people having joy. My friend, if life is all about you, you will never be truly joyful. The kingdom is set up for givers. The kingdom is set up for people who serve. The kingdom is set up for people who have become healthy, found their identity in Christ, and now cannot wait to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. Want to share in the harvest. I love when people make things. When Christianity meets the physical and it's expressed in love, we are on to something. When we bring in the harvest, what's the point of a harvest if you do not share it with friends? What's the point of a vinyl record if you do not invite someone else to listen? What's the point of having a Christian community based on grace, love, and acceptance if we are not concerned with other people? Joy comes in the harvest, and the sower, the proclaimer, and the reaper, the one who is taking in the benefits, shall be glad together. And friends, sometimes we're sowers, and sometimes we're reapers. But the main thing is that we can have joy in this divine fellowship. Assurance of what is being proclaimed in the middle of this divine fellowship leads to a bubbling river of joy. And I want each and every one of you to walk out of here filled with joy. Even if life tastes like bitter ashes today because of your circumstances, there can still be a river underneath that mountain of ash that says, I'm loved by God. And although I don't see the break of day and I do not know how these circumstances will work out, I am going to trust in a God who loves me. And even if you've blown it, because a lot of times we don't have assurance because of our own sin, because of the things that we have done. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 17, it says, punishment is coming, divine judgment is coming, but if you will repent and turn back to me in the good, I will relent on the punishment I was going to bring and give you grace. The Bible was full of a God who wants to restore, to give second chances, and to make your heart full of assurance. And as long as we're talking about that, hold on, I have something here. There it is. If you pull out your bulletin here, here's a Love the House campaign. Go ahead and pull out this pledge card. As we talk about sowing and reaping, a divine fellowship with the subterranean network of God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit empowering us and giving us joy, this is a simple way as a community of people that we can share in something joyous. When we get our new roof, we're gonna have a party, right? Like we need to have a rainy day, saints, party, casserole, bring in, sing some songs or something. We need to party when God accomplishes that. Now, your joy won't be complete unless you're part of this fellowship and we give in some kind of way. You know, it's going to be fun for everyone who gives. When we see the roof put on the church, it's going to be a shared experience of joy. Again, I want to state this, especially if you're new here in the last year or so, I want you to pay attention. The people that are sitting in these pews are probably tired of hearing this, but I need you to hear this. As a church, this building is not what's important. You are. If this building was to be diminished and every brick knocked down and the roof cave in, that would not destroy our fellowship. If we had to rent out a facility or do something, our hope and trust is not built on our building. And this church is not the church. You are the church. You were bought with Jesus' blood, and you are more precious to him than you ever do. But we do like our church. It serves a purpose for this community, and it serves a purpose we can gather around. As far as I know, no one has a big enough living room for us to all have corporate worship in, okay? Somebody that used to go here did, but never mind. Stick to script. So if you look on the front, here's what we're asking. I'll just get right to the point because I'm going to start saying something dumb. Is that we're encouraging people in this fellowship, empowered by God, to give a one-time gift. And on those gifts, you'll see there are gifts of $3,000, $5,000, $10,000, $25,000, $50,000, and $100,000. We need one-time gifts to jumpstart the campaign. Now, last week, like we said, you might look at those numbers and you become very afraid. Some of you have the capacity to give like that, and some of you don't. Join with your small group. As you go to small groups this week, maybe you bring a small group gift in. Maybe you get with a group of friends and you bring that in. But we're going to be collecting those over the next 3 or 4 weeks, okay? And then you can give with installments, and we want to encourage everyone to do that as well. So we're actually going to collect these today. You can start writing on. If you've already prayed about your pledge and you have that, fill this out starting now. After we sing another song, you can leave them on the seat face down, and we'll collect these, and we'll be doing that over the next 2-3 weeks as our body cycles in. What's the point of Love the House? It's so that we can proclaim Jesus to the lepers, to the blind, to those who are hurting, and continue to do awesome ministry. It's not about a roof. It's not about having awesome carpet to target a group of people or whatever it is. We just want a nice looking place so that we can do ministry with Jesus. And we're gonna let God, whatever God gives us, whether that's $50,000 or $5 million, we're going to celebrate the provision of God and respond to it with joy and glee. So you can begin filling those out. We're going to, over the next 3 weeks, collect those, and then we're going to have some kind of party on the 29th, I believe, that is going to celebrate what God is doing in our midst. So we need to start collecting those so that we understand the pledges. Dear friend, listen to the beloved disciple. I want you to focus here. Focus. Your God loves you. He's provided salvation for sinners. From the greatest to the least, no matter what you've done, you can come to the foot of the cross and repent and be called a child of God. That's good news. No matter your background, your age, your gender, we're all one in Christ. Okay? No matter what's been done. And I know that's hard for some to hear because you've lived through so much trauma. Some of you lived through deep abuse. Let me try to speak through that through the Holy Spirit. He loves you. And to him, you are worth dying for. You are worth him giving himself up for. You are worth him sending his Holy Spirit. Every suffering, every moment that he received agony was for you, okay? He loved you deeply. He was concerned about you. So what he would not want, after laying his life on the cross, giving of himself wholly and freely, he would not want you to walk out of here and doubt his very gift. To doubt his word, his promises, his character, or the completed work of Christ. He wants you to trust, to have confidence, to have assurance. And then what happens is joy starts to bubble up. And then you go start to proclaim what God has done in your life so that your joy can be complete. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy that you give. We thank you for a deep fellowship, that it's not just who we are in this room, but there's a deep river flowing underneath us of the Father on his throne looking out over all of us with his sovereign will, with a Son who's at the right hand of God ever interceding for us, with the Holy Spirit who fills us and makes our body the Holy of Holies. We thank you for all these beautiful and wonderful gifts. Father, help us to recognize that you are for us and not against us, that nothing can separate us from your love, that nobody can snatch us out of your hand, that we are the people of God. And Father, even help us to remember today that we did not choose you, you have chosen us, and to go bear fruit, and fruit that would last. So Father, give us a deep joy. Give us a deep love. Help us to be a sower or a reaper today. Help us to walk out of here with the full assurance that you love us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. You can remain seated so people can fill out these pledge cards. After the song, you can lay them down, face down, and then we'll be dismissed and take some time to do that. If you have any questions about Love the House, you can see Janet or myself after the service. We'd love to communicate or answer any questions that you have about what we're trying to accomplish here. And again, keep that circled, and especially the roof as we head towards the summer. So take time to fill that out, leave them face down when you're done, and we'll be dismissed after the song.